Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you all gathered in this morning. They've been talking, maybe you have heard, that there's a special moon visible these evenings. Well, I saw it this morning. As I looked out the kitchen window, there it was. And I even took a photograph of it. Not a very good photograph. Just in case any of you doubted that I saw it, I can always show you the photograph. Well, let's turn to the chapter 10 of Luke's Gospel. Today we will conclude our study of this parable. And I might just tell you that next week, in the will of the Lord, we're going to start another parable. And I feel that I'd like to deal with another very well-known parable, the parable known as the prodigal son. But let's just look at a couple of sentences in Luke's Gospel, the chapter 10, and we're repeating the words of the verse 35, where the Good Samaritan is speaking, and on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. That brings the parable of the Good Samaritan to a close. Those words in which there is reference to him coming back, and then him repaying the man who has been looking after him. And there's an important truth there, boys and girls, that I want to emphasize to you. We have, over the last couple of studies, been considering how that the Good Samaritan, among other things, illustrates just how that the Lord Jesus will return again. And when he returns again, he will reward those who have treated his beloved well and kindly. That's the teaching of the last words of this parable. The Lord's coming back again. We should live with that in mind. We should. We should never, never, never forget that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again to this world. Now, nothing could be further from the thoughts of man. Nothing could be more difficult for the ordinary man and woman out there in the world to conceive of Jesus Christ returning to this earth. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the vast majority of people, is a mythical figure. Oh, they talk about him. They hear others talking about him. But he's a mystical figure. Oh, a whole religion has been built up around him. But it's only the invention of man. And really, there's no truth in it. So consequently, the thought of him coming back again to this world is just beyond the vast majority of people. Now, that can affect us. We can become infected by their unbelief, and it can drift from the Christian's consciousness, from their mind, that the Lord Jesus really is coming back again. I think that ministers are required to constantly preach upon this subject. Oh, not just say Jesus is coming again, but rather expound and explain the many passages in the Bible where that truth is taught. And that's what we want to do, this closing verse of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because there is, in these words presented to us, a reminder. If this Good Samaritan pictures for us the Lord Jesus, and as Christians we wouldn't doubt that for the moment, then, at the close of this parable, we have the Good Samaritan saying, when I come again. And we have to conclude, that's a reference to that glorious event that lies ahead, when Jesus Christ comes again. Now, I'll remind you just of the words again, because it's important to see what it is in the mind of this Good Samaritan. Take care of him, verse 35. Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Take care of him. Boys and girls, the Lord Jesus, even at this moment, is taking careful account, keeping a very careful record of how his people are treated in this world. The Good Samaritan says to the innkeeper, you take care of him, because I'm coming back again, and I will see how you looked after him. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps an account of how his people are treated in this world. Let me show you a little passage. Again, it's a parable told by the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, which is a chapter all about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've often said to you, and I'll say it yet again, Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 25, read them. Read them carefully. It'd be lovely if you were to read them until you know those two chapters off by heart, and all that the Savior says in it. It's all about his return. It's all about the circumstances and the conditions in this world when he returned, and the things, the signs taking place in the world that indicate his return is very near. And in the chapter 25, beginning at the verse 31, the Savior says this, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goat. I said it was a parable, and this is an actual account of what will happen. But then, in the verse 32, there's a little bit of a parable. For when the Lord Jesus comes again, he's going to be like a shepherd separating the sheep from the goats. Now, we don't see that happening in this country, primarily because rarely do we ever see a flock of goats. Very, 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 very few farmers would have a flock of goats. And certainly no farmers have a flock made up of goats and sheep. But out there in Israel, that's quite common. And then at the end of the day, the shepherd, when he brings them home again from having been out feeding, he brings them home again and he separates them. Separates them one from another. And that's what the Lord Jesus is going to do when he comes again. He's going to separate those that are his sheep and those who are goats. Now, it's not too difficult for you to remember which is which. The sheep, those are the Savior's own. Those are his people. The goats, well, they look like sheep, but they're not. The goats represent those who are not real Christians at all. They pretended to be. They mingled and mixed in with Christians. They went on the same path and were seen together, but they weren't really saved. Well, the Lord's going to separate those who are truly saved and those who are not when he comes again. When he separates them, he's going to put the sheep on his right hand, verse 33, but the goats on the left. Now, what I want you to notice is what he will then say to those on his right hand. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, who are, of course, the sheep. So he's talking to his own people here. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. It's all about me. Look at that. How many times that little word me appears there? You took me. You took me. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous... Oh, that confirms that when I say the sheep represent the Christian, that confirms it, because here the sheep are called the righteous. The righteous shall answer him, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? When did we do that? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. What does that teach you? It teaches you that the king took careful note of how his people were treated. When they were in trouble, did anybody visit them? When they were sick, did anybody call? The Saviour takes careful note of how his people are treated in this world. And boys and girls, you see an element of that. You see the spirit of that in the words of the Good Samaritan. When I come again, whatever you have spent on this poor, injured man, I will repay you. Kindness toward another Christian is counted by the Lord as a kindness toward him. That's how closely he is identified with us. I can prove this with the story of Saul of Tarsus. You remember on the road to Damascus, he wasn't saved, but that was the day of his conversion. And the Lord appeared to him. And the Lord said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul had never met the Lord Jesus in his life. Yet the Lord Jesus said, "You have persecuted me." What did he mean? Very simply this. Paul was persecuting Christians, and that was the same as persecuting the Lord Jesus. He felt the persecution that Paul was directing at Christians. The Saviour felt it. Now just reverse that. In like fashion, a kindness done to a Christian, the Saviour feels it. The Saviour feels it. And when he comes again and separates the sheep from the goats, he's going to reward those who were kind to Christians. He will count it as a kindness to him. That's something for you to remember. If you speak harshly, act harshly toward another Christian, the Lord Jesus feels it. He feels it. You bear that in mind. You bear that in mind. So, just we note here then that the Lord keeps an account of how his people are treated in this world. When he comes again, he will not only reward his people, but the Bible teaches us he will reward his enemies. Now, there's no mention here of the robbers. No mention here. But from other scriptures, we are clearly taught that the Lord Jesus is not just coming back to reward his people and to bless them, but he's also coming to take a dealing with those who are his enemies and who have been the enemies of his people. And I'm just going to read out to you some verses from the scriptures that make this very clear. Matthew chapter 16, the verse 27 says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works." The works of every man is going to be examined. Again, Jeremiah chapter 17 and the verse 10, "I, the Lord, search the hearts, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." Oh, young people, don't think for a moment that every word you speak and every act that you perform disappears. Once it's done, it's gone. No! It'll all be resurrected one day. We'll have to give an account of it. We'll have to give an account of it. Again, Isaiah chapter 59, the verse 18, "According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries," recompense, repayment we could call it, "to his enemies." Romans chapter 2, the verse 6, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds." Live in the light of these truths, young people. You may conceal things from others. You may have told lies, you may have done all sorts of sinful things, and nobody, it appears, seems to have seen it happen. There has been no consequences of your wrongdoing. And so it appears you've gotten away with it. Don't be deceived. There's a witness who will one day call you to an account. The Lord Jesus. Revelation chapter 20, the verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." God is keeping a book in heaven. I know in the school there's a black book where If anybody's really bad, down goes the record. And if it goes on, the attention of mother and father is drawn to this record. Now, it's not nice to get your name in that book. How much worse it is to have your name in God's black book. Because one day, you will be confronted with it. We'll turn again to chapter 10, and the Good Samaritan, in the last words that we have of him speaking, he says, "When I come again." He was coming to see the innkeeper, but he was coming back principally to meet up again with the injured man. The injured man was the subject of the affection and the love and the concern of the Good Samaritan. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, it is in order that he might be reunited with those he has loved and with those he did so much to help, to deliver, to save. It's the well-being of the injured man that will cause the Samaritan to come back to that inn. He's anxious to see that man again, anxious to see that all is well. It's obvious that a wonderful union, a wonderful friendship has been formed between the Good Samaritan and the injured man. Now, the injured man doesn't seem to have participated very much in that friendship, in that he likely was very ill and didn't very much speak to the Good Samaritan. But the Good Samaritan's heart and his affections were centered upon this injured man. So it is with the Lord Jesus. How weak is our love for him? Do we not see ourselves in that sick man lying there, maybe unconscious? And there's the Good Samaritan standing over him, looking down on him with compassion, with concern, with anxiety, and making plans for his well-being and his comfort. But the injured man just lying there, to a large degree unaware of what's happening. And that's how it is with you and me. From day to day, we hardly take notice of the fact there's an eye upon us who watches us, watches over us. There's one in heaven whose heart's affections are centered upon us. And though we don't know it, he makes a way for us through the world, protects us, takes care of us. And it's because of that affection between the Good Samaritan and the injured man that the Good Samaritan's going to come back again. And that's what's going to bring the Lord Jesus back to this world, because he loves you and he loves me. Remember, I read to you John chapter 14. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Whatever preparation the Lord Jesus Christ makes in heaven for his people, and what perfect preparation that will be, it will not be complete until he puts us in that prepared place. There's something missing until he comes and puts his people in heaven. The Lord Jesus, in John chapter 17, prays. It's a wonderful prayer. Here's what he says in part of that prayer, verse 24. "Father, I will that they," that's his people, "also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me." The Lord Jesus will not rest until you see him in his glory. We have, I'm sure, as Christians, each one of us, we have at times a desire to see the Lord. The last words almost of the Bible expresses John's desire. "Oh, even so, come quickly, Lord." He wanted to see the Lord. And there's not a Christian but has that desire at times. Well, listen, the Lord Jesus has a desire for you to see him in his glory. What do we see him in today? Not his glory. We see him in his humility. Same spirit that was seen at Calvary is seen today out in the world. The Savior wants to have us see him in his glory. And one day he's going to come back in order that we might see him. I'm thinking just now, the injured man, he never saw the Good Samaritan. He was unconscious. I've no doubt about that. He was badly wounded. So when the Good Samaritan came over and began to care for him, the wounded man didn't see him. Couldn't see him. He was unconscious. And he was still in that state when the Good Samaritan left. And it's not until the Good Samaritan comes back again that the victim of the robbers will see the face of the one who cared for him. And so it is with you and me, don't you realise that? It's not until Jesus comes again will we see the one who has loved us and given himself for us. Paul told the Thessalonians in chapter 4 and the verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That's our destination. That's our destiny. We're going to be ever with the one who has loved us. "When I come again," he says, "I'll reward you for your kindness toward this man." So it is with the Savior. Oh, boys and girls, give thought to these things. And ever keep your eyes looking for Jesus Christ coming again, and every sign that indicates that that day is approaching. Let's bow in prayer. We ask thee, Lord, to bless your word. I ask thee that it may be in this school a spirit of watching, a spirit of waiting, a spirit of awareness, Lord, amongst the boys and the girls, that Jesus is coming again. Bless the teaching staff, bless the parents, remember all who are sick, may your hand be upon them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.